Hello everybody, welcome to today's podcast episode. First of all, I really want to thank you all for listening so much to my podcast. After the gymnast episode, which is the most recent one, before this one, a lot of people started listening to my podcast, a lot of new people joined, so thank you for that support. I really hope you stick around with the podcast and you keep supporting the podcast and me, if you like it obviously, but it seems like you like it, so thank you for that support. Second, sorry that I don't upload podcasts as often as I wish I could, but soon we will get to the point where I can upload podcast episodes weekly. I have to work a little bit more harder towards this, but I really can do this. So just give me a little bit more time and soon we will get to this point so I can, you know, provide you with more awesome speedrunning content you can listen to every week. And last but not least, let's actually introduce the episode today. So today I was talking with MSushi, or not today, but in today's episode I was talking with MSushi. MSushi is a younger runner, but he speedruns for like, what, 7 or 8 years. He's mainly known for Portal and Celeste. That's why I know him, because he speedruns Celeste. And we talked a lot about how you don't burn out in speedrunning, and how you keep having fun with speedrunning, how important that is, but still also look at speedrunning as a profound professional hobby, whatever you want to call it. Even though the episode was a lot back and forth and not the most straightforward episode I've ever recorded, I still hope you get some value out of it. So yeah, I really hope and wish you enjoy this episode, and yeah, let's get it rolling. Oh, and also one tiny little thing, because I forgot to mention that in the intro. There was something weird going on with MSushi's audio, so if it cuts in weird ways, it has something to do with his Discord connection, as far as I believe. We tried to fix it, but that's the best result we could have gotten. I hope that's not too big of an issue for you, and you will still enjoy the episode, even though the audio quality on MSushi's side is not perfect. We tried to fix it, it couldn't have been fixed, so yeah, please enjoy the episode. Yo, hello everybody, welcome, my name is Flash. We have today MSushi with us in today's podcast episode. MSushi, young speedrunner, but still very talented, mostly known for Celeste and Portal, also was a Half-Life 2 runner?
One.
Half-Life 1 runner at recent GDQ, SGDQ last year, was it, right?
Yep.
And yeah, welcome to the show, MSushi.
Hi, yeah, great to be here.
So, yeah, give us a little introduction of you, like how did you get started with speedrunning and what speedrunning is all about for you.
Sure. So I started speedrunning probably in like, I wasn't any good at it, but I started in about 2012.
Okay.
Obviously,
that's like very early.
So, yes. I would be close to 11 at the time, 11 or 12. And obviously, I guess in general, my taste for video games, I never really liked AAA games. Even like, for background, I guess, I was more, for like popular games, I was more into games like Minecraft, where even like, I remember I didn't get an Xbox 360 till like fifth grade, which at least in like America, that's like all my friends were like, they were playing Call of Duty Black Ops Zombies, which I still never played to this day, which is kind of weird. But they were all into that stuff. And when they played Minecraft, I'd play with them. And then they'd go play Call of Duty, and I'd go on my computer and play my favorite games. I loved indie games, and I loved puzzle games mainly. So for my 11th, 10th birthday, I got Portal 2. And there's actually a funny story about this. I don't want to interject too much, but I'm sure it's not a bad thing to talk in an interview show. The first time I played Portal 2, which I guess is my favorite like non-indie game, Portal 2 is, but I tried to pirate the game because I was a tech-savvy 10-year-old, and I didn't really see the advices of like anything being like legal and like not giving people money for their work. And obviously I was 10, I had no bearing of what money meant at all.
Yeah.
So I went to go pirate the game on like my family's computer, my family's desktop computer. I was running like Windows Vista at the time. And I got the crack working, it was all set up. I got the main menu going and I hit single player, I hit play, and the screen is completely black. I can hear the sounds, I can hear movement, but the screen was completely black. Which is kind of a bummer for me. I assumed I messed up the pirating. Whatever. Like 7 months later, I buy the game. I get the game. and I run on the same computer, and the screen's still black. It was a hardware issue. The computer did not actually reach the standards to run the game. So I think I ended up playing it on my mom's laptop at the time. But I did my casual playthrough of Portal 2 when I was just barely double digits of age. I think 11 is the right age, but it's been a while. And for those who have played Portal 2 before, once you beat the game on the main menu, it unlocks something called Challenge Mode, where you're allowed to play. Well, it lets you play through each chamber, each level, and it has a timer in the bottom right corner from when the level starts to when the level ends. And of course, there's a leaderboard on Steam, and there are obviously a couple of cheaters, but there's a ton of super cool people. And since at the time I loved Portal 2 so much, and if you couldn't tell by the fact that I pirated games, or I attempted to pirate a game, I really didn't spend too much money on video games. I wasn't into AAA titles, so I felt fine replaying the same games over and over. And Portal 2 was really the first one for me where I played it a lot. And back when I first started, it didn't, I wasn't any good at it, and I was just watching a ton of people who were good at it. And even then, like, at that point in my life, I was playing soccer, football a lot, so, I didn't care too much about video games. I didn't really have online friends, and I wasn't streaming, so obviously there was a lot of motivation for me to get good other than the straight-up just joy of the game.
Mm-hmm.
But, eventually I play the game a lot, and it's really funny, actually, because obviously... now it's kind of common for everyone to use headphones. Back then, I would grind my IL, my challenge mode segments, and I'd put them with speakers on. And just for the record, of course, now I have like a whole computer set up in my room, but I would basically, our family computer used to be in the living room, and I'd have speakers on and I'd be playing the same level over and over again.
Yeah.
And I think my parents in the other room would be driven crazy by the fact that like the same audio noise would be playing like over and over again because I'd keep resetting.
Yeah, I can see that being very fun. Yo, that's interesting that you like started speedrunning because you played Portal 2 and you find the challenge mode interesting, or you loved the game so much that you replayed it and tried to get good at it. It's like, yeah, it's a natural way of getting into speedrunning, I would say.
Yeah. And I feel like even like nowadays, it's all like for me, I'll even like hold the standard to this day. It's about replaying my favorite games for me.
Mm-hmm.
I've tried speedrunning a couple of other games that I don't like too much, or that I like, that like my casual playthrough, I played intending to speedrun the game. And obviously I don't speedrun the game that long because I just don't enjoy it. There's not that drive. And because I know nowadays Portal 2 has a custom map maker. So if that was out when the time I played it, I probably wouldn't be speedrunning. I'd just be obsessed with the map maker and making all these cool maps. Mm-hmm. But because that was the only way I knew how to replay the game, speedrunning became the
number one thing for you, or a big hobby for you. Let's put it that.
Yeah.
Cool. Okay. One thing I can see a lot of people having struggle with when they start speedrunning, and you maybe can tell us a lot about this, is time investment or time management, because a lot of people are like either busy working all day long if they're older, or going to school and studying and all that shit. And yeah, how did you manage time and like school and real life with speedrunning? Because I can see a lot of people being shy to start speedrunning because they feel like they don't have enough time. But tell us something about that.
Well, I like to preface this with like one, that speedrunning is always a hobby and that it should never overtake like other real life concerns. For background, there was like 1 week where I was like 6 seconds. It was like when I was playing Celeste 90% and I just broke 28, and I was probably like, or I just broke into the 20 minute mark for any percent. And it was like TGH was number one, I was number two, and everyone else was like 20 seconds plus behind. And I really thought I was more than capable of getting world record, and I grinded it straight for like 2 weeks, and it was always the number one thing on my mind. And that's probably like the worst week or two I've ever had like playing video games. It was just awful. But yeah, obviously time management is a huge deal. Right now, actually, I definitely play in sprees. I do sports during the spring and the fall. I do running, track. So, during those seasons, reasons I'm usually occupied on weekdays a lot, because it's not only the fact that I'm making a physical, outside of just my studies, I'm making a 2-hour physical commitment to be somewhere and to practicing running, but also like I'm so physically exhausted when I come home that like I just want to lie in bed and eat some food and chill out and talk to some people. I don't want to like, you know, focus on how can I save 2 seconds in this part of the video game. Mm-hmm. But I mean, for me, I think the reason why is just because, again, I just love replaying my favorite games. If I were just feeling up to play video games, and I mean, I guess I can like talk about this a little bit now, but like I've played a lot of the mainstream games and I'm not like awful at any of the games. At one point I was Legendary Eagle Master in Counter-Strike, Global Offensive. I was high gold in League of Legends. I was Master in Overwatch. So those are all games that I've spent a lot of time in, but I just love playing those games with friends. That was a huge pastime of mine, and chilling out with my buddies and doing all that. But obviously when, you know, they have stuff to do too, I just get to play my single player games. And at least like right now, like my favorite thing to always do is put on an album or put on a podcast and just practice my game. No resets, things of that nature. Mm-hmm. Obviously if I don't have time to do that, then I don't have time. But I don't know, especially just making sure that it's at the end of the day, it's a hobby for me. And I guess it's kind of weird because when I played Portal, it was very easy for me to be the most dominant player. There was a point where I held every single Portal world record consecutively. I was also the most active runner at the time, which so it makes sense. Coming into Celeste, it's kind of crazy when I consider that like TGH is a full-time streamer. And like another really good Celeste runner, Babai, he basically streams a full-time week, like a full work length week, yeah, on Twitch, which is like crazy. And those people, I mean, I don't want to sit here and be like, oh, if I didn't have other obligations, I could beat them, because like their dedication is crazy. I mean, granted, I'm not conditioning myself for it, but even if I had like all the time in the world, if I play for like more than 4 hours on a weekday or a weekend where I like don't have any obligations, I just feel so exhausted and I don't want to continue. But because I've definitely, because said time frame, I've conditioned myself more in bursts of playing, even mm-hmm. days where like a good example is recently I tried a 202 berry speed run.
Yeah, I saw and that.
Granted I've never completed 202. I sat down on a computer, not nonstop. I took about 3 to 4 breaks of like five to ten minutes each, but it was literally taxing for my body. I know, because especially, I guess this isn't a good example because those golden berries are very stressful. It is. When you get to the later ends of like those long chapters, it's awful. But like literally my neck was cramping up. I felt like my core was cramping up. It was a lot. And just like standing up felt incredible. I mean, it's an experience, all right, playing video games for that long of a time. But yeah, and I mean, regarding my studies as well, I mean, as I progress in high school, I'm kind of getting less and less work, so that's a good thing. But I'm definitely, like, I don't know how to put this humbly, but, like, I'm not a freeloader in school. I take a lot of hard classes, probably more than I should, and I actually regret it a lot. But there are a lot of nights where if I'm in sports season, if I'm in the spring or fall, I will wake up at 6, I'll get ready for school, I'll go to school, have 5 full classes, I'll go to practice, and I'll have to come home, I'll be exhausted, and I'll like chill out for an hour, and then I'll have to do homework until I fall asleep. And I don't want this to seem like, oh, my life sounds so hard, because I'm short, it isn't. And obviously there are a lot of times, like today I got home at 11:15 a.m., and I basically had the whole day to do whatever I need to, and on the weekends a lot. I don't have any further obligations outside of, like, school and when I want to exercise. So it doesn't make it too hard, I suppose.
Okay.
But,
yeah. Yeah, you already mentioned, like, one really key thing, I feel like. Like, speedrunning is a hobby, and you should always, like, obviously focus on enjoying your time is like really, really important, because I mean, you choose to speedrun not because you want to reach world record or you want to reach a certain time. You choose to speedrun because you want to enjoy more time out of a single game or out of your free time, basically. So that's like, yeah, very, very good what you said there. Just focusing on having fun. Other thing I want to ask you is, like, you already said you enjoy like these indie games and these like smaller games, and you just keep playing the games you enjoy. But other people may have a hard time finding a right speed game for themselves. Like, that sounds weird, but I have a friend who actually is like very interested in speedrunning. But he has like, he doesn't end up finding a game he enjoys because he, like, for example, tries to run some Castlevania games because he likes those. But then he realizes it's less focused on combat in some of them, and then he ends up not having fun anymore. So what would you like tell a new runner who wants to start speedrunning, finding an exact game they love to speedrun? Because you seem like you've found very naturally the games you love.
Well, first of all, obviously everyone has different drives and whatever. I'm sure, like, I love Celeste's death, but I'm sure it's kind of like the favorite food thing where people say like, oh, would you want to eat your favorite food for like a month straight? And the answer is no, you'd get sick of it. It would be, yeah, it'd be pretty bad. Obviously everyone like kind of burns out at a different rate. Oh, my computer just went off. My Discord still picks me up. That was funny.
Yeah, it still picked you up.
That's cool. Okay, good to know. But yeah, everyone kind of gets bored of stuff at different rates. And I mean, I guess on a related note about like finding your speed game, I use I browse r/speedrun on Reddit frequently. And I joke around with Oddbot at least sometimes. Every so often there's a thread like, I want to get into speedrunning. Like, what game should I run? And you'll always see a comment of someone where it's like speedrunner guy 87, and in their flair it'll be like I don't know what's a game like Fallout 3, and they'll be like, run Fallout 3. It's a super cool game.
Yeah, like everybody recommends their own speed game.
Exactly, and I mean at the end of the day, I think it's dumb. Like. Everyone, I think one thing about speedrunning is that everyone will think that their game is underrated, except if you run like a Mario game. Celeste is up there too. Unless you run like a top 20
game,
everyone thinks their game is underrated. And yeah, there are a lot of super cool speedruns out there. And I haven't, other than like, I'm not too into like retro speedruns, but I've seen a lot of cool speedruns out there that are obviously underrated. But damn, it's like, the biggest thing is like people who. And kind of to just get it straight, what I said before about like enjoying a speedrun to speedrunning or enjoying speedrun to play a game. Of course, I always set goals for myself, and obviously, I try to get good time. It's not just all about completely enjoying the game. A lot of times, I do like kind of get the sense of self dread in the sense of like I'm not achieving what I want to achieve.
Yeah.
That's especially inflated with like the recent, at least for like Celeste, like the prize pooled events. There's been like Twitch Rivals, Pace, GSA leagues. So I don't think that helps in fueling like the goal drive. But at the end of the day, when I ever like lose focus, I'll like take a week break and realize how much I love this game. But I mean, yeah, the biggest thing about speedrunning is definitely like not for everyone. It's honestly, the definition of insanity is doing something over and over and expecting a different result, which is kind of what you're doing when you're speedrunning.
Yeah.
So, obviously, like, if you're not finding a game that clicks for you, then that's fine. I'm sure, like, I think part of the appeal to, like, actual, like, esports titles is that the game, like, always changes. You know, you're always playing directly against an opponent. In speedrunning, the game is the only limiting factor. Other than that, like, you can do whatever, and you can do a lot of crazy stuff in games. So, I mean, the biggest thing, of course, is that if you're going to speedrun a game for the long haul, you know, because obviously now speedrunning is a big thing on Twitch, and basically any speedrun that's interesting, you can get a following on it and think this is the game you're going to be playing a lot. So it should be a game that you enjoy a lot. Yeah. So that's just my big thing. I mean, I don't know if I can look on my Spearn.com profile, because most games I run, I enjoyed a lot. And actually, like, probably one of the few games that I ran and that, like, wasn't my favorite was, like, Hat in Time, which is still, like, a really good game. But other than that, like, Half-Life, Dishonored, Mirror's Edge, Portal, and Celeste, I'd say those are, like, the main games I have times in. Those are all games I super enjoyed casually, and I super enjoyed replaying. And they also just had incredible good, like, speedrun tech.
Yeah.
Obviously, like, the thing about speedrunning is that, like, people always talk about good speed games. Like, when you're thinking about a game to speedrun, like, heck that. Like, okay, I've run Minecraft Random Seed. From a competitive perspective, that is such an awful speedrun. You're gonna get a completely random world, you get completely random spawns with completely random drops. It's awful, but you know what?
It's still fun.
That category is so much fun.
Yeah.
And sure, like, I might be biased in the sense that I'm so used to, like, execution heavy games that it's nice to have something so free flowing. But it's also like, yeah, it's so much fun to play, and it's also because, you know, I enjoy Minecraft.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like if you enjoy the game, you can make every game a good speed game. Like, I also would say, like, every game, if it gets, like, very, very optimized and time invested into it, is going to be around, like, not quote-unquote around the same difficult, but each speed game is going to be very difficult. If you want to reach, like, a very, very good time in that game, if you optimize it very much. So yeah, if you just need to find a game you'd like and love and try to enjoy speedrunning it, but don't force it, I want to say. Like, you said that earlier, sometimes you get, like, very frustrated, and then you don't enjoy speedrunning for a moment. But, if you will know that it's the right speed game for you, that after a week or after a few days, you say to yourself, fuck, I actually want to play this game again. Because that's, like, how it's probably for both of us, like, in Celeste. Like, you have sometimes days where you feel like, fuck this game, and the other day or the other week you feel like, God, I just want to play the game again, want to feel the movement again. It's, like, so much fun. And that's, like, exactly what you need to find. You already mentioned one thing that's, like, really, really key. Like, taking breaks, because, like, obviously you won't always achieve your goals, you won't always achieve your times you want to achieve, something, like, I believe every speedrunner struggles with at some point. Like, how exactly do you have to take breaks? Like, how important is taking a break, and how important is it to accept that not just because you practice a whole lot you always achieve a new PB? Like, can you tell us more about that? Like, how do you deal with like, you practice, for example, a whole lot, like an entire week, you said that when you were grinding for world record back then, that you, like, grinded the game so hard for 2 weeks, and how you burned out of it, and what you could have, like, avoided eventually to, you know, enjoy it more, enjoy your time more. Like, what did you learn out of that situation? Well, I know it's a lot, so you don't.
Yeah. One thing for sure is never get too invested in the time. Obviously, I think one thing about speedrunning is that people, I mean, obviously, I love the one meme, the world record King Kong gif, as I like to call it, the Revo world record gif. I don't know if you're familiar, where it's like,
I don't know what it is right now, but I've heard the Revo world record gif somewhere.
It's a giant monkey climbing a tower. It starts beating its chest and it has a PogChamp face and it says world record and there's a bunch of flames and money everywhere.
Yeah, I've seen this.
Yes. Getting occupied, like, obviously there's a lot of, like, clout and title that comes with getting a world record, but all, like, your run is only a product of yourself, and you can be a better runner and have a worse time. And I think one thing that's really interesting about speedrunning is the use of the word bad. My favorite speedrunner, Babai, is notorious as he has never once called a run to his level of satisfaction. He likes to call all of his runs bad. And as someone who has a top level, who's like a top level speedrunner, I guess I could say, like, I agree. Like, but here's the thing, like, my standards are so high when I say something is bad, that basically means it's improvable. Like, yeah, I can beat my PB in every speed game I've ran. I can beat it. It's beatable. It's not perfect. Therefore, it is bad. Perfection seems to be the standard for some reason. And I think one of the more interesting things about speedrunning, at least like top-level speedrunner interactions, obviously, I think when I'm going for a goal, when I'm trying to maybe beat someone, I find it good to like directly compare to someone, directly to talk to someone, like, where do you think your run's the best? Where do you think it's the worst? And I like to compare against other people's splits, so I like to ask for people's gold splits. And one thing is that people always kind of get defensive about their gold splits and their summer best. Like, oh yeah, that gold, I can save 2 seconds on it. And I just think it's really weird that, like, obviously you can be capable of more than your PB tells as a runner, but people really like to kind of defend themselves in terms of, like, where they can save time the summer best. Like, it's crazy for me to do, like, runs of Celeste over and over again, like, almost 1,000 runs. And then my best like, resort ever right now is a 407 split, for example. Mm-hmm. I know I can get a 405 if I try really hard. But it's crazy for me to ever have the expectation to save 2 seconds off my gold split when I hardly come anywhere close between hours of attempts. But for some reason, in my mind, that's still the standard. I don't know how good that insight is and how well I explained it. But it's, you know, you're always kind of aiming for the best you can do. So, and the biggest thing about speedrunning is that there are a lot of off days. The biggest example I'd like to give is through my experience, obviously, when I played at pace. When I played against Flurvy, I 3-0'd him, even though I would say that he is not only the runner with the better PB, but the more consistent runner. And he was just having the worst off day of his life. It was funny because throughout pace, I actually, my record against TGH was 0-6. I didn't win one game against him. And Fladerby was 2-1 against TGH. Like, because what happened was we played on day two, and I beat him 2-1 in two games. He beat me in one game. And the next day, he had, like, no options. Like, he had to 3-0 to get into the final. And he just, like, played out of his mind. No regrets, no training weights. And he just, like, absolutely annihilated the run. And, I mean, yeah, I think it's really easy to have off days in speedrunning. Even just the simplest thing is like, oh, cold hands, you know?
Yeah, cold hands are super awful in the beginning of the stream.
But it's like, I think the biggest thing for me is that if I have 3 bad days in a row, that's when I'm like, okay, I need to reassess something. Like, something is not working out. Because I guess, like, especially because the more I've played Celeste, because it's definitely more of a game that has a bigger following. It's a more popular game than Portal in terms of speedrunning. So I feel like that's in return, I've cared more about my stream and my live stream. And there are a lot of days where I don't think I can PB or I'm not feeling up to PBing, but I still stream anyways because I enjoy streaming and I enjoy playing the game. I don't know where I was going with this, but the idea that, like, I'm playing the game, but I'm not trying to improve sometimes, just chilling out. And that in itself is kind of a break. You know, a lot of times players like to close chat, but it's the run where you're actually, like, kind of closing the game and you're just reading chat, you know? Yeah. I think that in itself is kind of like a break. And just, I don't know. I mean, not to, like, plug another video, but just coming to mind right now, I actually did an interview with, a quick interview with Daryl Talks Games, I believe his YouTube channel is, who's, like, a huge psychology YouTuber. He has a lot of cool videos related to, like, video games and psychology. But he made a video about, like, speedrunners and, like, automaticity, I think the word is. The idea that, like, when you're playing a speedrun, you don't think about every direct input. You're just kind of doing what you've practiced, what you remember.
You don't need to think at all. Like, I feel like, I play through Celeste and I don't think about my actions. I just play. It just happens naturally. I've done it 1,000 times. I can do it automatically.
Exactly. And I think it's interesting because it's like the idea is sometimes in my head I'll be like worried about a room. Like when I'm rusty a bit, I'll be like, oh gosh, how do I do this part? And I get to the room and I just kind of do it. And I'm like, How did I do that? Like, my hands just take over. I know Autobot has the line. He says, muscle memory is the strongest force in the universe, which is pretty true. I definitely back that one. But, I mean, the biggest thing about taking breaks is that there's a chronic case of speedrunners being like, I quit. I'm not playing anymore. And then, like, a week later being like, new skip found. Let's go, boys. We got this. New PB. Like, it's crazy. It's kind of an addiction when you think about it.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's just good to realize, I think you either need to be having fun or you need to be achieving something. And if you're doing neither, then you need to change something. Likely.
Yeah.
Take a step back, you know?
Yeah, you said it already. Like, one thing I really liked is sometimes you can just run the game without expecting an improvement in itself. Like, I mean, you still play the game, you basically still strengthen your muscle memory, or you discover a new weakness or strength in your gameplay. And that in itself is, like, I believe, very valuable. Just playing the game without forcing a PB makes you, you know, less stressed, and you can enjoy the time more. I really, really like that, what you said there.
An interesting idea, actually, is that I go off the idea that every single speedrun will have mistakes.
Yeah.
There's, like, no such thing as a perfect speedrun. So the person who gets the slowest time is going to be the person who reacts better to the mistakes. And doing the resets, doing the things where you have these mistakes and you don't get tilted. Because obviously if I was in a normal, like, full-on PB attempt, like PB or reset, and I made a massive mistake, I'm not going to try to fix it. I'm just going to give up. But if I'm doing, like, no resets, if I'm trying to, like, just play the game to play the game, I'll try to salvage it. And, you know, that's good experience, because I've never had a PB that I consider perfect. I don't think anyone, unless you play, like, a straight up auto scroller game.
Yeah.
Your run's going to have mistakes. It's about reacting to them.
Yeah. I mean, when I got my recent PB, I was also like, I was happy. I was like very happy because I finally break through sub 32. And like after an hour or something, I was like thinking or looking at my run and was like, man, this was the run where I lost in these three big rooms so much time. I could have gone so much faster. Like, you always think about what you could have done better, that I feel like, yeah, this is like what speedrunners drive. They always want to get faster, and they always see where they lost time, and they always look at their mistakes. But sometimes it's, like, also just nice to see where you're at. Like, it's still my best time I ever played, like, the best full run I ever had. I should appreciate that. And obviously there's always, you know, room for improvement. I feel like that's, like, very, very true. Like, you said it in the beginning, like, speedrunners are so focused on playing perfect that they... But it's, like, literally impossible to play perfect as human beings. That you just have to accept that no matter how much you try, it won't be perfect, but this doesn't mean that it's, like, not an achievement to get a new best time or close to best time.
Yeah.
I had one more question I really would like to ask you.
Go for it. Unless, like, you're thinking and can't find it. Because that's what the tone sounded like.
Yeah. It's like sometimes I completely lose track of my ideas and thoughts. We said that or like you talked a lot about that thing, but I just want to push it a little bit more forward. Like a speedrun mentality. Like, how do you think it's ideal to approach a new, like, goal, like a new PB? Because, for example, I had, like, this big goal of getting sub 32. I finally reached it, but it was, like, obviously months of practice and just, you know, playing the game very consistently. And we have, like, off days, and we have a day where we get very close and then very upset if we just miss the PB. So, yeah, how would you describe this entire... I know it sounds, like, very unclear. I have a hard time finding clear words right now, but
it's fine.
How do you approach a new goal with a good mentality? Because I feel like mentality is, like, really, really important. A lot of speedrunners, a lot of people watching my stream actually feel like they consistently talk shit about them. And I don't know how good that is or how bad it is, but I feel like a lot of people are missing something at that point.
I'd say speedrunning is like 70% how much time you put into the game and 30% just mental. I feel like I'm not the best example because like while I kind of know the right thing, I have a lot of experience speedrunning, obviously. But we have a joke is that if you go to my Twitch page and you go to clips, chances are like 9 out of 10 clips you're going to see are going to be me screwing something up and then promptly screaming. So, you know, I'm obviously not the most... I don't have exemplary behavior when it comes to like a good mental state, but I think the biggest thing is just a combination of like consistency and confidence. If you know you can get a goal and that it's reasonable for you, just keep at it and don't let off days and don't let small mistakes phase you. Obviously, speedrunners also like to set unrealistic goals for themselves, so that doesn't help. But, you know, it's like right now, since I've started running, or my PB in Celeste is like 4 months old or something, and since I started running, my Slim Vest has dropped 10 more seconds. So obviously, I think, you know, I'm more than capable of getting a PB, and I think that's a reasonable thing to do right now. But obviously, I don't want to be like, I want world record. Because obviously, that's an unreasonable goal. And what is and isn't unreasonable, what is or isn't an unreasonable goal, I mean, I'm not one to say. But, you know, having... Just keeping at a goal is probably the biggest thing because it's easy to get discouraged when, you know, when you play really well for 15 minutes and then you just screw up one thing, it's annoying. And it feels like the 15 minutes you played really well mean nothing, even though in reality you played really well for 99% of the time and played badly for one part of the time. So if you just keep at it, you're going to get what you need.
Yeah, and eventually you end up playing 100% good enough. Well,
yeah, I think the biggest example I like to put out of this is like the game. I mean, Celeste is definitely getting up there, but I think the game that has like the most competition, top level competition, is like Super Mario 64 120 star.
Yeah, as of right now with the bounty,
yeah. And one thing is the amount of stream time those runners have is absurd. They play that game a lot. Entered the category, it's also significantly longer. Super Mario 64 is also, in my opinion, a much more... It's a harder game.
Yeah,
I mean...
3D games are surreal, like, very difficult.
I think also a huge part of that game is that the controls just look rough. it's nice that, you know, everything in Celeste is completely, like... digital. Like, you know, you have an expected result if you hit a button.
Yeah.
And... Mario 64, it seems like there are a lot of variables that help make a awful decision, but I guess that's even more props to them for dealing with them. But I think it's crazy how, like, I'll try to pull up some stats right now, but it's, like, almost everyone who plays, like, they do attempts nonstop and they hardly get phased. Like, Cheese has streamed 33 hours
week. Cheese streams a lot lately.
That's crazy. I mean, he's also, like, he's also a full-time streamer, so that helps a lot in terms of buffing his hours. Liam Kings, I don't believe the stat. It says he streamed 73 hours the past week. That is like twice the amount of time of a normal work week.
Yeah, that's like that's a lot. That's
absurd. You know,
that's like basically like, nearly all or most of his awake hours are like streamed.
Yeah. Lucia, another Super Mario 64 runner, 27 hours streamed. I'm trying to bring up more examples, but I think I've made my point in the idea that a lot of like these successful speedrunners, Punk only has 15 hours streamed.
Good. But Punk is currently like first place, I believe, on the bounty.
Yeah, he has the best time for that. I mean, I'm actually curious if I go search up TGH, how many hours has he streamed in the past week? Like, you know, it's interesting to see because there's a lot of commitment. TGH has streamed 45 hours the past week.
Yeah, he streams like every day, basically, I feel, 6 to 8 hours.
Being a full-time streamer, obviously, and of course when you are a full-time streamer, I assume not every single minute is going into actually improving at the game. You're probably spending half of that, like, just streaming, just vibing, you know? Yeah. But, I'll check out Bobaya's stats, too, because I know he's someone who... Oh, he streamed 36 hours last week, but he's been on the decline.
Yeah, I believe Bobaya also plays a lot, like, off-stream.
I'm
like,
sure of it.
I mean, believe like people. 50% of the time he streams and the other he plays off stream.
Yeah, I guess the big point in making this is that like it's not just like practice, improve, goal reached. It's more like practice, barely improve, and then like a huge like maze of like where am I going?
Yeah.
You really need to be persistent because no one just rolls out of bed and sometimes actually when you're really in a grind, you'll just roll out of bed and you'll somehow just get the time you wanted, but obviously there's a lot of prerequisites before that. And
go ahead, please. I don't want to
interrupt. A lot of the speedrunners that people admire and people look up to, they have had days where they just want to uninstall the game, where they want to like destroy their console or bust their controller. It happens to everyone who tries to achieve something hard. So I guess the biggest thing is just to remain with it and realize that failure is just part of the process.
Yeah, that's very true. Yeah, the only thing I want to say is that like just because you don't hit a PB for a while or you don't see improvement, quote unquote, yeah, it doesn't mean you do not improve. Like top runners, like in the very, very optimized games, they practice for like 6 months and they don't see any PB. And then they PB by like a few seconds and it's like their biggest accomplishment. But that's like how it is. You have like so much time where you don't see any, you know, improvement, like quote unquote, but then you have like one moment that's like basically worth working for. Awesome. Is there anything you want to add? I feel like we've talked a lot about a lot of things, even though some were not so clear, which I'm sorry about. But I feel like we got good points covered here. Like you talked a lot about some points. I was really, really surprised.
I mean, I just think my perspective on speedrunning, of course, is interesting because I guess I'm really happy that I've played Celeste because I think the biggest thing is like perspective. On the Celeste leaderboards, there are a lot of talented people. I'll just go down the list. I'm sure people are aware, but like TGH, Undertale, Link's Awakening was the best player in those games. Marlin was the best player for The End Is Nigh.
Runner. I didn't know where Marlin started. I thought his first game was Celeste.
No. The only like standout runners for their first game of Celeste were like Babai and Chai Kitty.
Yeah, Chai.
Everyone else like Flad was
super Babai good at also speedrun Hollow Knight.
Hollow Knight a bit, yeah.
Yeah, but I didn't know how far he got in that.
But obviously I almost found an outlier, but like I came from playing Portal, which is a 3D platformer, which is really weird. In comparison, like all these people who like Marlin was super good at 2D platformers, TGH played a lot of, I mean, I guess the correlation isn't there, but just more 2D games.
Teach just plays a lot of games a lot of times.
Yeah.
I think that's a good way to put why Teach is a good speedrunner.
Even though I know Oddbot has played like everything. He's played like a lot of Shovel Knight.
Yeah, Shovel Knight and other 2D platformers.
Yeah, and it's just crazy the amount of talent that's in Celeste. And
a lot of people it's like really coming together
for me. Yeah. Because the biggest thing is that like when a time gets pushed down, it's a whole community. Even though like if you look at the world record progression for Celeste, it's basically like TGH took it down from like 32 to 29. A lot happened in that time period of people finding routes and people improving. And tidbits getting picked up here and here and here. Speedrunning is a huge group effort. And as an individual, you can only be part of the process, It's kind of like the idea of reinventing the wheel. Some people, when they go into speedruns, they kind of like to reinvent the wheel. I'm kind of the opposite. I actually really like copying people. I'm kind of a fraud. A lot of times when I try to improve, I'll watch like a lot of VODs. I'll try to get a good like combination. I don't know how to pronounce that word. A good like mixture of different strategies from other videos. And a lot of times I'm like, but Babai will actually be a huge source for me. I'll add him and be like, how do you do this? Or how much faster is this? Or like, because he's obviously he's much better at the game than me. So I think it's interesting. And, you know, he helps me a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, at the point where he didn't play any percent a lot, I had a much better any percent time than him. So, you know, it's all stepping stone. Sometimes you step on other people. That's not a good way to put it. But, you know, like, it's great that a lot of speedrun community has good resources, and getting into speedrunning is pretty easy. But at the same time, like, I just want to retract and with the idea of, like, competitiveness, with the idea that, like, again, it is you playing your favorite game. Like, because even if I didn't speedrun Celeste, I'd probably still have, like, 200 hours in it, and I'd enjoy the game a lot, and I'd have all the golden berries, and I'd play some custom maps, and maybe I'd make some custom maps, and, you know? Like, speedrunning just happens to be my way to show my love to games now, but for the most part, I mean, yeah. I feel like I've said a lot throughout this session, so I don't really think I can recap it in like a total sentence or two.
Yeah, that's like literally impossible, I feel like, at this point. It would take you another 5 minutes to just recap what you just said this entire day, I feel like. But yeah, awesome. I think that wraps it up pretty well. Thank you everybody for listening. Check out Misushi on Twitch. I will link it everywhere where I can. If you want to hang out in the nice and chill stream. So yeah, thank you for having you, and see you all next time. Bye.
Bye.
Yo, thank you all. Thank you for listening to my podcast. Want to make sure to check also out my YouTube and my stream. If you like listening to this podcast, you probably also like watching my videos and watching my stream. So make sure to check it out. The links to that are in the podcast description, but also you will find them by just searching on Twitch and YouTube. Flash177. There's more awesome speedrun content on these platforms from me, and more to come in the future. And that's all I have to say, really. Thank you for listening. The support means a lot. Like, we got a lot of new listeners recently. I already said that, and it really means a lot. Like, I didn't thought so many people will listen to this, and it really, really surprised me. So thank you. More to come in the future. Probably in the beginning or middle of March, I will be able to upload weekly. Thank you for listening, and see ya in the next episode.